Hey everybody, it's Marcus here, and you are listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. Weekend Review Edition. The artist you just listened to was Man Man, and its song was entitled Life Fantastic. A great little tune there. So basically with this Weekend Review Edition, we're going to cover a lot of developments in ebook, digital publishing, tablet, and e-reader realm. And jumping into it with the biggest story of the week, Amazon released a new special offers edition. So this is an Amazon Kindle 3 Wi-Fi edition at a tremendously low price. You basically save about $30 off the going rate. So for about $114 starting May 3rd, you'll be able to get your hands on this. Now, what is the special offers edition? In essence, it's a Kindle that is discounted because it's going to show you ads. So it's going to show you adverts on the screensaver. It's going to have a little bar at the beginning at, you know, your menus showing you ads, but the ads won't pop up as you're reading. So it's a little bit give and take. When your e-reader is in standby mode, and traditionally you would see screensaver pictures, famous authors, or if you put in your own screensaver pictures, you're going to see in really high contrast e-ink pictures. But with the Amazon Special Offers Edition, you're going to instead see ads. So starting right now, you're going to be getting ads mainly from Amazon through their MP3 service. You'll be able to spend $10 for a $20 gift card. You'll be able to get, you know, Audible books at a really cheap price. You'll be able to pay $1 for an entire album. And Amazon's courting partners right now to get involved with the whole advertising, and hopefully with that and more partners they sign on, they'll be able to actually offer this at a more discounted rate. The whole purpose of this is to get people to buy the e-reader at a cheaper price and expose them to ads, which that in itself is a whole nother story, and we may get into that later on in the show. Suffice to say, Amazon has developed a program called AdMash. So this is basically going to be an app and website where customers can choose the most attractive and engaging display advertisements that will become Kindle-sponsored screensavers. So Amazon has put up 5 or 6 just to usher this new program in, but they will allow people in the public to vote on what are the most engaging and interesting screensavers. They're just not going to put everything on there, but they're actually going to allow the community to be able to actually vote on things. So I think that's a good idea, that you're not going to just see Bob's Auto Body Shop in, you know, suburban nowhere. You'll actually see some interesting ads coming up. So again, it's named AdMash, which is the name of it. And this was basically the fruition of an Amazon purchase of a coupon site that they bought a little while ago called Living Social. And they spent about $178 million on this Groupon-esque competitor. And the company hopes that the quality of the deals that it offers will become a welcome intrusion rather than a nuisance. Now, here's sort of my perspective. Amazon Kindle is a great e-reader. Of course, Amazon is the leading company in the realm of ebooks. They have tons online. It's basically no shortage of books. Their e-reader is basically second to none in terms of it has a full QWERTY keyboard. It has a 6-inch screen. The page turns are very, very fast. Navigating the menu system is very robust. It allows you, when you're reading books, to be able to send tweets or Facebook status updates based on specific passages that you really like, making sure that they fall in with the character limit of tweets and Facebook status updates. The Kindle is one of our favorite types of e-readers in terms of all the reasons that I mentioned. It is very nice aesthetically. It does come in both black and white, and it does function an e-ink screen. If you're not too familiar with e-readers or anything like that, you can become familiar by visiting our blog at goodereader.com/blog and just take a look at many of the articles we write. Most of the times it explains the technology and all of the underlying factors. Many people agree that Amazon giving a $30 discount basically for an ad model isn't enough. It's not enough of a discount. Many people are saying that if it breaks the magical $100 barrier for price point, then a lot of people could sacrifice seeing a few ads in turn for being able to get a really cheap e-reader. Of course, again, the ads will only be displayed on a screensaver and a small bar on the bottom of the screen when you're navigating menus, surfing the internet, and so on. But when you're actually reading books, again, you won't see any type of ad intrusion. So nothing will take you out of being involved in the book. No, you know, every fifth page an ad won't pop up, or there'll be no little bar across the screen. There's simply no ads when you're reading books, but when you're doing anything else with the e-reader, ads will appear. So that's probably the biggest news of the week, that Amazon has officially announced this. And again, it's going to be coming out May 3rd, 2011. Continuing on with some e-reader news, Canadian-based company Kobo, which is very well known for their Kobo Wireless Edition as well as the first generation Kobo, has opened up a new digital bookstore in Europe. Now, they basically set up all the infrastructure. It's not actually set up officially yet, but in Germany and Spain, mid-next month, Kobo has put up localized versions of its ebook store. So basically, they're tailoring their stores for specific markets. Now, like we said, Germany and Spain are next month. And in June, France, Italy, and the Netherlands will receive similar treatment. the big transition with these stores and the whole reason why they're doing it is because they're going to be launching local books, local magazines, and local newspaper subscriptions. So if you live in France, you'll be able to subscribe to all of your favorite local and national newspapers. And one of the things that Kobo is doing is that they're putting a lot of focus on developing and cultivating local authors. Sometimes with large ebook stores, local and independent authors can really get lost in the shuffle. And if you're an independent author listening to this, you know what I mean. It's sort of hard to compete on a global scale when you submit your book, say, to Amazon or to Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble, for the most part, just sells books within the U.S., whereas Amazon does it significantly on a more global type scale. And the Kobo bookstore function the same way. Anywhere in the world that you had a Kobo bookstore, you could shop via the Kobo bookstore. But Kobo's doing a smart thing and actually doing localized versions of its Kobo bookstore. So if you live in France, you'll be able to buy ebooks all in French. You'll be able to get magazines in French. And same with, in Germany, if you were to buy a Kobo e-reader and use it in Germany, you'll have the option to be able to go to the German equivalent of the Kobo ebook store and get everything in German. So it's good in the respects that it makes it so a brand like Kobo is more localized towards your specific region, specific country. And I really hope that it does indeed foster more local authors and be able to allow them to become more recognized in the country of their origin rather than trying to compete with millions of other authors on a more global scale. So this is their first foray into the European market. To date, Kobo's really made a valiant effort to make it big in Canada, which is their home country, to also make it big in the U.S., which is obviously Canada's largest trading partner. They've also made endeavors to get into Australia and New Zealand, although due to the Red Group and the borders collapse, which was Kobo's main partners in Australia, it's kind of uncertain at this point how their e-reader is actually going to be available in those countries, mainly for the point that their entire distribution chain dealing with 3 or 4 different companies are all basically going bankrupt. So the e-reader is available there now, and if you live in New Zealand, Australia, you can still shop at the Kobo bookstore. And they have made inroads in some Asian markets and stuff like that as well. So kudos for Kobo for doing this. And they announced this at the London Book Fair that happened over the course of this last week. If you have a pen digital novel, this is a tablet billed as an e-reader, there is a firmware update out now. It's been available for a while in terms of it's been available for just over a few weeks or so, but we're recommending that people download and install this now that it's tried, tested, and true. One of the things that allows you to do is it subs out the Borders application that came bundled with your e-reader and gives you a Barnes & Noble version of this. But don't despair if you've bought or purchased Borders books. You'll still be able to read those books with the firmware update. They are making Android apps a little bit more accessible. In the past, if you had a pen digital novel, and this is the 7-inch white or black edition, you had to have a lot of knowledge to be able to self-install applications. The pen digital did not come with any type of Android market or any type of service that allowed you to basically browse for applications and self-install them. You had to really have a bit of tech savvy, so you had to actually hook your pen digital up to your computer, browse around for exclusive Android files that would work with the version of Android that the pen digital had, and then copy those applications to an SD card, put the SD card in the pen digital, and load them off of that. So it was just a lot of hoop jumping. Tech savvy people did do this, but Now, PennDigital, with this firmware update, has introduced the SlideMe Market via their SAM 4.0 application. Using this, you can get Facebook, Twitter, and a ton of other e-reading applications, as well as a ton of other apps, weather, and things like that, to be able to make your PennDigital novel more of an Android tablet, rather than just like a really bare-bones e-reader as it came with to begin with. You'll be able to get also a little bit more productivity with an Office Suite reader and its ability to open documents, spreadsheets, presentations, and more. The firmware update finally offers speed and responsiveness with page turns and overall enhancements. So if you want to download this update for your PennDigital, you can visit our blog at goodyreader.com/blog. Currently, the article's on page number 2. We have a link to it, as well as all of the instructions and a ton of pictures showing you off all of the new interfaces with the Barnes & Noble application. So you really want to check that out if you have a PennDigital novel and you want to, you know, run updates and such. If you have aspirations to buy the BlackBerry Playbook, which is the first tablet coming out from Research in Motion, you have maybe a few reasons to have a little bit of trepidation when it comes out April 19th. There's been some preliminary reviews of this tablet, and so far it does not look good, mainly because email is not working. You won't be able to actually connect up to the internet unless you tether it to your BlackBerry phone, although it does have Wi-Fi capabilities. It's losing a lot of applications that simply just aren't working at this stage of the game. It's not really allowing Android applications yet, although Research in Motion has said that with the Playbook, it will be able to run Android applications in the future. I would probably recommend that if you are a BlackBerry fiend and you have to have every new BlackBerry device that comes out, it looks like a great device. Although there's 3 different levels coming out, depending on whether you want low gigs or high gigs, that's really going to influence the price. There's 3 different levels. It's only Wi-Fi to start. 3G will come probably Q3 of this year, maybe Q4. But buyer beware that the Playbook is certainly not a finished product, and essential things like email, which is what Research in Motion is most famous for, simply does not work on a tablet unless you do tether it to a phone. So we would probably recommend everybody not to purchase this tablet until those things get fixed. We do have on our blog, though, a BlackBerry Playbook training guide. Now, this is the training guide that anybody who works at a store that is going to be selling this, this is what they have to read in order to become familiar with it. So if you want to get sort of an advanced preview of everything, all things BlackBerry and all things BlackBerry Playbook, you can check that also out on our blog, and is also on page 2, or you can simply type in a search bar BlackBerry Playbook training guide, and you can get a sense of what people at the stores are going to be able to know. There is also some news on Barnes & Noble. They have a little gadget called the Nook Color. You may have heard of it. It's probably their most successful e-reader that they've ever put out. Getting close to November and December last year, they were making close to $200,000 to $300,000 a month just to keep up with demand. And many stores are sold out of these chronically just because there's so many people grabbing them. For about $249, you're getting an Android tablet, but it has a totally Barnes & Noble UI on top of it. If you're not familiar with the Nook Color, you can check out our full review of it. It's rather epic. It describes everything, as well as shows you a ton of videos on how to load ebooks, to our full review, to even the unboxing of it. You can also see that on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/goodyreader. Suffice to say, Barnes & Noble Nook Color will be carried at the retail chain Staples, and this will start May 1st. So if you're looking to get into color, maybe you don't have a Barnes & Noble around you or in your neighborhood or even in your city, you can get that. And it'll be the same price with the Barnes & Noble No Color. It is Wi-Fi, so you're not going to be able to get any 3G or anything of that. But it looks like Staples is doing the right thing. Unlike a lot of companies like Walmart that carry a lot of really subpar tablets and e-readers, Staples is much more selective in the gadgets that it carries. Of course, last year that they did start carrying the Amazon Kindle, and now they're carrying the Barnes & Noble No Color. So great job by them, sort of only stock the best and not to kind of confuse customers on too much of a selection. And in the end, a lot of the times, customers will buy the things that cost the least. And in the e-reader and tablet realm, it's those gadgets that most often are the worst, excluding a few, of course. I really like the Nook Color, and speaking of it, sometime in May, they're going to be releasing a firmware update that gives your Nook Color the ability to have Flash. So you'll actually be able to now to play Flash games via the web browser. You'll be able to watch embedded YouTube videos. You'll be able to do anything to do with Flash on the internet. So that's really positive. You'll also be able to get a lot of new games on there, such as Angry Birds, which is obviously most people's favorite game, including mine for Android. There'll be a bunch of games there as well. There's really no word if there's going to be any type of app market or anything like that yet, but stay tuned to our blog for updates on that, and we will give you everything that you need to know. The final thing that we want to get into before we play another song is the Kogan Agora 7-inch tablet. And this is a big controversy right now in Australia. Kogan has been around for a while. They've made a few tablets. They made a lot of sort of tech gadgets and such in Australia. They don't import anything or export anything, rather, out of Australia. So it's really sort of hard to get your hands on these gadgets. If you do not live across the pond, you'll have to sort of rely on gray market avenues like eBay and things like that. Here's basically the gist of the story. It's a 7-inch Google Android tablet, and sales on it were very brisk. So far that it was sold out in a matter of one day. Now, normally this would be good. The problem is, Kogan admitted that the resolution marketed on the device was completely wrong. They initially said that the resolution would be 1024 by 600, which is very, very good considering that the device only cost $139. They later retracted that and said it was 800 by 480. Which really makes it quite subpar. And people were returning these in droves, and Kogan's message board, their forum, their customer service lines have been ringing off their hook due to irate customers. The second batch of these units are set up to ship May 31st, 2011. So here's just a quick gist. It's 7-inch, full-color, capacitive touchscreen. The resolution, of course, 800 by 480. It is running a bit of an outdated version of Google Android with version 2.2, and you will be able to connect it to the internet via Wi-Fi so you can get your email and web browsing on. You won't be able to view HD with this device, although we heard that you can get 720p, but this is only if you use the HDMI out port that is on the device. Speaking of ports, it has one USB port as well as a micro SD slot to boost your internal memory. No word yet if it has access to the Google market, although for $139, I would hesitate to say no. Although Kogan does it hype up the fact that YouTube and Gmail comes bundled with the device. So suffice to say, many Australians are up in arms about this device. Merely because it was a bait and switch. Kogan said one thing, and then once a lot of people bought it, they said, oh no, wait, you know, we made a mistake, the resolution is this. A lot of the times resolution doesn't really matter to people that are not really too techy. But let's face it, 800 by 480 is dastardly. 1024 by 600 would have been great. $139 is really a low price for a tablet, so you do have to make some sort of sacrifice that for a low price you are getting technology-wise, a solid tablet. I'm happy at least that it has a capacitive touchscreen as opposed to resistive. And again, the difference between resistive and a capacitive, resistive has a small layer of film on top of it, which often makes tablets cheaper to manufacture. The downfall is that colors and a lot of things get washed out, and in most cases with a resistive touchscreen display, you do need a stylus in order to get the most out of the unit, whereas capacitive, it's very intuitive. Finger taps and things are usually a little bit more robust. Examples of capacitive touchscreen displays, the iPad, the Nook Color, so on. What we're going to do is we're going to play a little bit of song right now, and we're going to check back and give you some more news on the world of ebooks, digital publishing. Alright, we're back at the Getting Reading Radio Show, Week in Review Edition. My name is Marcus, and the artist you just listened to was a chap named Clams Casino, and the name of that track was The Fakest Year Ever. We want to devote this segment of the Week in Review to a few interesting developments that have happened over the course of the last week. And I find some of them are actually pretty interesting. So without further ado, we're going to kind of get into a myriad of subjects here. First of all, the iPad 2 might be manufactured in Brazil now. Foxconn Electronics, which of course is a Taiwan-based company that has plants in China, where a lot of the things that you hear about in the news about suicide and things like that happen at Foxconn, and that's where a lot of the components of various Apple devices are manufactured. So the deal is by Foxconn and things like that to set up a Brazilian plant. The entire deal might be actually worth about $12 billion over the course of the next 5 years, although the exact financials have yet to be confirmed by Foxconn. So Foxconn and Apple are very keen to place additional sites around the world to be able to meet its requirement of making 5 million iPad 2s every single month. And of course, Apple completely dominates the tablet market. Last year, in 2010, there was 18 million tablets sold total. 17 million of them were Apple iPads. So that really goes to show that they are a runaway success, despite what a lot of naysayers have to say. That's just the truth of the matter. Recently, iPad with the second edition just got on sale internationally, but a few weeks ago, and already there's a lot of places that are putting requirements on how many that you can buy. Certainly, Best Buy is intending on selling this. A lot of stores only have two, and they've put out internal company memos basically on how to resolve irate customers that read about Apple iPad 2s being available, go to the store, find out that they only had one or two to begin with, and have to go through the procedure of reserving one so you can pick it up a few days or a few weeks later. So not only is the iPad 2 scarce in the US, but it is very scarce in Canada and in most other markets that it has already opened up in, with others to follow. So the short of the story is that Foxconn and Apple really want to pump up a lot more iPads, and they have to open up new plants in order to do that. And they're going to be doing it in Brazil if the whole entire deal goes down. Now, they say girls just want to have fun, and that's been an anthem since the 80s, and it continues strong in 2011 with a company named eFun. And they have put out a few tablets already. They have released the eFun Next 2 and Next 3 Android tablets. So these are the Next Books, and they made a deal with Kobo now to feature their Kobo eBook store on its upcoming line of next generation Nextbook tablets. And this is the Next 5 and the Next 6. When you buy the devices, when they go on sale next month, I believe, you'll be able to get 25 free eBooks. Most likely they're classics, as whenever you buy a device, it usually just comes with classic eBooks. They're not going to give you 25 bestsellers because, physically they just can't do it. It would just cost too much money. Let's look at the Next 5 and Next 6, which are the new tablets by eFun. They're running Google Android 2.1. They'll give you a full 7 inches of viewing pleasure. You'll have about 800x480 resolution. The big differences, though, are with the built-in memory and the processor. The Next 5 is bundled with a very cool digital pen. And for prices, you're looking at $200 for the Next 5 and $230 for the Next 6. My opinion, pass on these. They're really crappy entry-level tablets. The resolution is a bit better than some of the lowest of the low, but I would probably recommend, if you're looking for an Android tablet, I would probably say skip these. Although, if you do buy it, know that you're going to be doing business with a pretty cool company. We can't have enough good things to say about Kobo as far as their customer service is relatively solid. They are Canadian, so it is a company near and dear to our hearts. But they just simply have about 1.3 million ebooks, which blows a lot of other stores out of the water. They have everything from newspapers to magazines, so you'll be able to buy them all directly to your device if you should decide to buy an eFun, or if you already have the eFun Next 2 or 3. With the firmware update, it'll be able to give you the Kobo functionality. A one-day-only sale occurred on April the 15th, and this was for Amazon Kindle DX. It was actually on sale for $299, which was a savings of $80. Now, the Kindle DX is a 9.7-inch e-reader, so it's the biggest one that they really make. The resolution is really solid. It's 1200x824. You get 16 levels of grayscale and a 10.1 contrast ratio. You can also connect it to internet free via the free 3G service that Amazon provides, and they also provide the WhisperNet syncing for free. So if you buy books on the device, that you'll be able to sync them directly to it. Page turns on it are lightning fast. The one thing that a lot of people really complain about is the lack of, with the newest generation of Kindle DX, is that the firmware updates are nil. So you kind of have to be aware that the Kindle DX will not give you the same functionality as the 6-inch versions will, such as the Kindle 3rd generation Wi-Fi or the 3rd generation 3G. Those get firmware updates pretty well every other month. We kind of mentioned at the beginning of the show with the ad edition that you can do Facebook and Twitter. You can also do that with the other Kindle models, but you can't actually do that with the DX. The DX really gives you little to no sort of firmware updates. For some reason, Amazon just doesn't give this thing all the updates it really deserves, and it's really put off a lot of users that did spend a lot of money on this when the price was significantly higher. Regular price now is about $379, but it was on sale for a one day only of only $299. There was a lot of sales made on this device, mainly from just people that have never, that just don't know the whole story about it. Now, I will say that out of the 9 plus inch e-readers out there, obviously Kindle is the best. This e-reader is very thin. It's the resolution, contrast, and everything like that is second to none. There are other 9-inch models out there, such as the PocketBook 902, which we recommend as being very solid as well for large screen e-readers. But it really goes downhill after that. There really isn't just a market for these large screen e-readers. The best thing that they do is display PDF files. And so a lot of people say, hey, you know, I'll invest in that. But considering the price is $379, most people end up just getting a tablet, such as the iPad or the Samsung Galaxy Tab and other things like that, because they cost actually about the same or less, but they display PDFs in full color, whereas the Kindle DX only does it in e-ink. So my opinion is that the DX really isn't worth the cost of the regular price. Although, if you are hunting around for a large screen e-reader, the functionality is, it's right on. There really isn't any problems with the device as it was designed to just read e-books, navigate menus, be able to purchase books and things like that. It does it the best of the bunch. My only complaint, though, is that Amazon just doesn't seem to care about this one in the respects that it doesn't release firmware updates. It doesn't give you Twitter and social media capabilities. It doesn't give you any type of like excellent features done here and there. It doesn't do what was really heralded as a great move by Amazon by the community, which is real page turns. In the past with ebooks, page 5 on an ebook would be different than page 5 out of the store-bought novel, whether you're buying a soft or hardcover book. Page 5 might be the ebooks for page 7. So Amazon did a firmware update for the 6-inch versions not too long ago that made real page numbers. So if you belong to a book club, whether it is virtual or whether you meet with the girls or boys, you know, once every few weeks and you all have a book and you want to talk about, oh, on page 32, the antagonist said this. Oh, you know, the scoundrel. So with the real page turns on a 6-inch models, it was great. But where is it on a DX? Non-existent. So it just seems like the Kindle DX owners get the short end of the stick all too often. But it was on sale for that one day, and it did sell quite a number of them. Getting into ebooks now, there were some interesting statistics put out for February by the Association of American Publishers. And they recently filed a report saying ebook sales this February tripled over 202% through the same period of 2010. Suffice to say, they made a lot of money. So far this year, ebooks have made quite Okay, I'm just going to throw this figure at you. $164 million. So out of just January and February sales tabulated, that's how much the global ebook market has made. Whereas printed books in the same period made $441 million, but it did fall 24% through the same period of last year. So let's kind of like look at some of the things that really make this compelling. Traditionally, February and January are the slow months. Let's face it, a lot of people spend a lot of money during the holiday season. Toys, gadgets, upgrades, and so on. Traveling, visiting family, buying presents, spending a lot of money. January and February are often the slowest months. But if anything, the ebook sales increased in those periods. Now, part of that is attributed to the fact that many people got e-readers and tablets for Christmas and for Hanukkah and all those other holidays that happen during that time of the year. So many people are buying e-books to load up their device. Now, another factor that the association said was that people are buying books. Most often, they're buying maybe a few bestsellers or books that they recommended by friends. Say, you buy the new Dan Brown book, and you know it's the book that's in all the stores. You see it everywhere. Hey, I'll buy the ebook. Hey, I like it. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy previous Dan Brown books. So those are considered backlist titles. Now, many readers are purchasing the latest bestseller and either on a random buy or through a referral, and then downloading more or less their discography. They're buying previous books by those authors, buying all the books in the cases of, you know, people that are obsessed with L.J. Smith or Charlene Harris and, you know, authors like that that write a series of books with the same characters. And so, you know, a person will go buy 13 books of the series and, you know, plunk down a few hundred dollars. So one of the other facets that the association didn't say, but this is sort of makes sense, and this is sort of strictly our opinion, is that the reason why ebook sales are doing so well is just because e-readers are so much more accessible. Not only that, but e-readers have really come down in price. It was only just under a year ago that e-readers traditionally were only sold online. You couldn't really find them in stores. 2010 really ushered in the Kindle being sold at Staples, Best Buy, Walmart. A ton of e-readers being sold, you know, in bookstores, at electronics stores such as Future Shop, Circuit City, you know, things like that. So they've really infiltrated the public space like none before. And so with most people buying e-readers and buying them either on impulse buys or, you know, being in a bookstore and say, hey, there's, you know, if you're in a Barnes & Noble, it's like, hey, there's a Nook stand and there's a ton of e-readers being demoed there. Or if you're in Canada and you're at a Chapters bookstore and you're saying, hey, there's a Kobo stand there and they have all these e-readers in different colors and all these cases and they have a dedicated guy standing there saying, hey, you know, this is what this is all about. Check it out. And so, you know, it's basically getting people to buy these things, and obviously with that, you're going to be able to buy ebooks, and that's pretty well one of the big reasons, in our opinion, that ebook sales are drastically increasing from month to month. And so, considering it's only been a year later, February sales, they made about $90 million, which is about the same amount, or a little less than the January sales figures were at. Jumping to tablets really quickly, Toshiba has announced three Android tablets, and these are known as Ant. So people say that you make a mountain of a molehill. Toshiba is making a mountain of an anthill. And hopefully these will be army ant, crazy, you know, like you look at ants and in an ant world, You know, you have garden ants, which are all flimsy and black, and they squash really easy. And then you have, like, these crazy African ants that are, like, the size of your thumb, and, like, three stings, and you're all numb. And if you get swarmed, you're done. So hopefully these Toshiba ant tablets will be the crazy, you know, African kind, rather than, like, the really diminutive and easily squashable garden variety kind. This will come in time. New Egg basically busted the cover story right off of this, saying that these are sold out, the product pages aren't done yet, but it looks like these three tablets will have Android 3.0, which are Honeycomb, and this is really Toshiba's main foray into the tablet market. It'll be the Ant 100, Ant 102, and Ant 104. They all feature a 10.1-inch multi-capacitive touchscreen display. They'll also be running an NVIDIA Tegra 2 1 GHz dual-core processor. It'll have a 16.9 aspect ratio, and the resolution will be 1280 by 800. The 100 model will have 8 gigs of internal memory. The 102 will have 16 gigs of internal memory, and the 104, let's say it has 32 gigs. You're looking at prices from top to bottom. The 100, $449. The 102, $499. And the 104, $579. So more or less, they're all the same in specs. As you buy the latest and greatest, you just have a little bit more in memory, but aside from that, most are the same. So this is pretty cool that they're looking to be like high-end tablets without paying a crazy high-end price. They are going to be one of the few tablets running Google Honeycomb 3.0. The first tablet, of course, was the Motorola Zoom that came out a few months ago, and it didn't have its share of bugs. There was some, you know, the SD card didn't work. There was a bunch of software glitches that haven't really been fixed yet. Hopefully with the Toshiba tablet coming out, it'll come out when Android 3.0 has been refined a little bit. Of course, it will have access to the full Google Android market, so you'll have no, you know, you'll have no hesitations about downloading the latest and greatest apps, getting Gmail, getting Google Maps, Sky Maps, and, you know, all of your favorite games and applications. Finally, the latest two or three stories have to do all with ebooks. Now, we basically broke a story just earlier on today, and this was about a program called Autography. And what this allows you to do, in essence, is that authors can now sign your ebook. And this is done through this proprietary software. So many people, you know, love going down to meet the famous authors to be able to buy a copy of the book, sign a book. To my biggest fan, Marcus Goody Reader, you are simply the pinnacle of websites in not only the internet, but the known world, the expanded universe, and the entire cosmos. So this is obviously when I get my book signed, I get him to sign it exactly with that. And it is somewhat of an ego boost, so I'm pretty happy looking at my wall of autographed books and saying, hey, all these authors think I am the ultimate and most dominant force, not only in on Earth and planet Earth, but the entire cosmos. So this was done by a chap named Mr. Waters, and it's basically an amazing tool that allows to insert a photo which is signed by the author into the ebook itself. So if you are a fan of the author and desperately want to get an autographed ebook, then you need to first take a picture with the author, and that image automatically appears on the iPad that the author holds in his or her hands. The author signs on the photo with a stylus, and if they want to personalize it more, then they are allowed to add a little message. Then the author will press a button, and it will send an email to the fan's ID with a link to that particular autographed image. The fan can easily download this link to his or her ebook. The personalized message is then inserted into a fresh new copy of the ebook that the fan has purchased and then transmitted back to the e-reader device. Then the ebook is downloaded by that person. Like, say if you've bought the ebook or purchased the ebook before, the ebook is basically overwritten by the new copy when the notification says that it's available. So the whole process takes about 2.5 minutes. So it is pretty cool. So basically, it's kind of unknown at this point what type of e-readers will be compatible with this type of software. We know that it is with ebooks, but we totally don't know what format it is in right now. Will it only work with EPUBs? Will it only work with, you know, what type of formats that it will work with? It is pretty unknown at this point. We know that it will work. They say that the software is compatible with e-readers and with the Apple iPad. So officially, that this whole Autography software debuts next month. So we kind of will get more of like an exclusive scoop. But this is software that's done. It's developed. You can check out their website to know more, which is autography.us.com. And you can check out a video and like all this other type of stuff that appears on it. And it does look super cool. I mean, it's going to be introduced at the Book Expo America in New York. So next month, you'll be able to get your hands on it. Now, the guy who developed it was a senior consultant for the U.S. Special Operations Command Headquarters. So he has a bit of experience with, you know, high technology and things like that. The coolest thing that I think is that, you know, if you come in there with your iPad or and things like that, or if like you maybe, okay, let's speculate a little bit about this. The way that I've researched this and envisioned this technology is working is that, let's say you have like a Barnes & Noble Nook or maybe like a Kindle, and you go to the author at a book signing, you buy a copy of their book on like your Kindle, or you buy it on, you know, on your Nook, and you say, you know, I want your autograph. So chances are that most of these authors will have either an iPad with them that they can sign, and then they just basically sign it, and then it sends a link to your email address. The way that it kind of makes sense to me that this program will work is that you'll need to set up an Autography account, and I probably bet, because this technology is new, that you'll have to bring in an iPad or a tablet like that yourself, and you'll have to get the author to basically, you know, you log into the software and you say, hey, you know, write to my biggest fan, Marcus, you're the most dominant force in the history of humankind, and you are the evolutionary high point of human existence. And I'll say, you know, wicked, that sounds good. I'm not going to coach you on what to write, but if that's what you want to write, I'm totally down with it. So they'll sign that on the iPad, press send, and I'll get like a link to that, you know, to the autographed or whatever. And then the purchased book that I bought will be overwritten, and that, you know, inscription will be on the second page or like the first page. I'm going to definitely follow this story, and, you know, I've speculated a bit on it, but the core of the technology is that it allows authors to autograph ebooks, which I think is pretty damn cool. Finally, the Sony e-reader is going to be on sale officially in Russia. This was announced at Photo Forum 2011, and they're going to be bringing their European version of the PRS 350 and 650 to the Russian market. These will be localized versions. Already, non-officially, Sony e-reader accounts for 29% of all e-reader sales in Russia, and this was according to a 2010 survey by Jason and Partners Consulting Group. Sony will now be officially selling customized, localized versions of these e-readers into the Russian market. No word yet on if they've made any special content distribution partners, whether they have approached Russian publishers, newspapers, magazines to get this content on their device. All we know is that, according to reports, that within a few months that these e-readers will officially be able to be purchased at stores and via Sony Online to be sold in Russia. So that about sums it up for the Good E-Reader Week in Review. This is your host, Marcus, and it was a pleasure ranting and raving at you guys. As always, stay tuned for further audio news as situations develop. But of course, for all of your latest news on digital publishing, e-readers, e-books, tablet, Slate PCs, and most importantly, a subject nearest and dearest to my heart, e-readers, you can catch all of this news and more on our webpage at goodereader.com. And of course, if you like videos, our YouTube channel is populated with a sheer amount of videos that will touch your soul. There are literally hundreds of videos of reviews, of tutorials on how to load ebooks virtually on every e-reader in existence. And we've gotten into the habit of reviewing a lot of cool tablets as well. So if you want to check out what this XOPC business is about, if you want to get a hands-on review of the Motorola Zoom, of the iPad 2, and many more cutting-edge tablets, you can see all of these on our YouTube channel, and that address again is youtube.com/user/goodereader. And don't be afraid to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. You can follow us, and all of these details are on our blog. We have really cool pictures on the side of our webpage, so you can befriend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, listen to our podcast on iTunes, and a whole lot more. Again, for Goodereader Week in Review, this is Marcus. Everybody take care.